Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com, code program.
Hello all, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu from Rusty Quill Gaming and the host and director of Enthusiasm. Today, I'm here to tell you about The Program. The Program audio series is a science fiction anthology podcast set in a world where money, state, and God are fused into a single entity. Every episode is a standalone story featuring ordinary people inhabiting this extraordinary world. And for them, it's not the future that is terrifying, but our present. The Program is sometimes funny, sometimes poignant, but it is always smart. Find out more about The Program at www.rustyquill.com or www.programaudioseries.com or search for The Program Audio Series wherever you listen to your podcasts. Have fun and enjoy the episode.
Hi everyone. Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Charlie Hagelin, Jason Dawson, How Should I Know, Tonya Downing, Nejev, Molly Whalen, Bonster, Richard Drum, Ben Stillwell White, Ren Martin, Nancy S, Megan Schreiber, Keller, John Cantwell, Mel Barsana, Linny, Dan and Heather Norbury Montalto, Lucas Rosell, Anne, Katie Lannan. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards. Welcome to episode 136 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM Alex Newell. With me today I have
Ben Meredith,
Bryn Monroe,
Lydia Nicholas,
and Helen Gould.
And who are you playing?
Zolf Smith,
Hamitsla Harun Al Tahan,
Sel Sightbottom,
and Azu.
God, that was so flawless.
Yeah.
No problems with that whatsoever.
I'm not really capable of doing anything badly.
So, you know what?
Oh,
fair,
boy.
That's really bad. I mean, even if it explodes the way I wanted it.
So right. We are in another delightfully warm recording, so expect everyone to be slightly weird.
Our brains are pudding.
We are going to be picking up more or less where we left off, but as a quick recap, you are currently on a specific island. You are searching for info relating to... Anyone remember the name?
Yoshida?
Yeah, nice.
Gangster man.
gangster man, okay,
the
sure.
Mob boy.
Azu's just taking this the way that Azu wants, and that's fine. That's fine.
Big alchemy lad.
So everyone else is looking for Yoshida Shoin, and Azu's looking for Al Capone. That's fine.
Alchemy Pone.
Yes!
I genuinely thought that's what he was doing. I
am not on all cylinders. You have been investigating. You managed to find yourself accidentally in, let's be honest, Dishonored for a while as you were wandering through aristocratic mansions full of death.
And it was all decayed and abandoned and...
And oozes!
Oh, yeah! And we learned really exciting things about new kinds of mold, which is cool.
Hamid refused to learn and continued to attack them, despite making it stronger.
That's not what she was talking
about. I'm talking
about
the mold.
Oh, I lose track.
And also, it's not new mold. It's documented mold.
Yes, I learned know very about the exciting mold. Things about the effects. Very exciting.
I have listened to the original mold now.
Okay. Yes, the Q mold.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be sad now that you actually know what happened rather than what people think happened. Yeah, last thing that we left you off in a scientific lighthouse, looking at a big toothy grin, having basically incapacitated everyone else, wearing a semblance of science gear, saying the word science. In big toothy grin. We're going to pick up there. So, as a reminder, you are in a circular room full of electrical equipment. Simultaneously, some of it's actually quite cutting edge. Some of it is kind of a bit more old school. And there is a kobold, kind of a little lizard man wearing a white coat, who is still awake whilst all of his kobold friends were kind of temporarily incapacitated and are now tied up and being less interesting.
I'm going to try and get information out of
you. Going to try.
Which one looks the friendliest?
Definitely the one that smiled and said science.
Okay.
We should talk to this one.
I'm going to cast Focus Scrutiny.
Okay. Remind us of Focus Scrutiny. It gives you the plus 10 to everything.
It gives me plus 10 perception, sense motive, and survival skills, plus 5 diplomacy and intimidate checks against a target creature.
So what you do is you necker interrogation poison.
A necker poison, then like the goggles come down and like... But the eyes like then look massively enlarged through the goggles.
I feel like no matter the creature's going to say, you're just going to yell at them, zoom enhance. Just on their answer, not them.
Oh, no. So I was going to be like, hey, little buddy, what's going on?
Okay, first roll me an intimidate check.
18.
Cool.
I'm trying to be nice.
I know what you were trying to do. Yeah. You now have a flat plus 10 to it.
Okay, cool. Hey, what's going on?
Eyes go large, the smile grows small.
What science are you doing?
From other people, what you can see is a pair of enormous eyes amplified by the lenses that are looking at them. And the guy's just kind of looking at you. Science?
What are you making?
Just loads of science.
Can you show me the science?
There's some kind of gestures at some of the like...
Who's making you make the science, buddy?
You know.
No, I don't. Which is unusual for me.
The big man.
The big man. He sounds interesting. Mm-hmm. What does he look like?
I mean, he's big.
Yeah. Bigger than points at Zolf.
Creature kind of... Yeah.
Points at Azu. Bigger than...
Yeah.
Bigger than...
Azu looks incredibly surprised and incredulous.
They say he's 50 feet tall.
Oh, they say, do they?
Eyes made of electricity.
Oh, right.
And hands made of electricity.
Cell looks impressed now. Oh, no, they're probably not telling...
They say they got the best minds of the world, right? And turned them into a soup. And then he drank them, right? And then he ate electricity, and that's why he's the big man.
Cell would not know anything about brains being taken out of people.
Why are you working for the big man?
Science is great.
Right.
Let's go. Where is that big man right now, buddy? Buddy? How you doing? Cell has been very nice.
The creature immediately looks down, then back up at you. Definitely not at the top of the lighthouse.
Right.
Is this a triple bluff?
That's a sense motive.
Yeah, that's a sense motive.
Give me the sense motive.
Yeah, which I get plus 10 to, which I only got a 2.
Anyone who wants a sense motive, this can.
12. I will sense motive as well.
I got a 12.
You got a 12 with a plus 10?
Yeah, because I rolled a 2.
Good gravy!
Oh, wow. I got a 15.
15?
10.
10.
7.
7?
This couple is a genius!
A master of the poker face.
There are two places that the big man could be.
Yeah?
definitely actually at the top of the lighthouse.
This is clearly...
Or as far from the top of the lighthouse as it's possible to get in this building.
Quadruple bluff, I think, is in the basement.
Aren't we at the top of the lighthouse?
No.
We're at the base of the lighthouse.
You're at the base of the lighthouse.
Oh, right.
I think we may as well check up there.
We're closer to the top of the lighthouse than we are to the basement.
Yep.
So you were in the middle of an experiment just now.
I mean, sort of.
What were you about to do?
Loads of science, just all over the walls.
Can you show me what kind of thing you'd do?
No, yeah.
Okay.
I'm currently tied up.
What? Can you let him have a hand free and then he can point at stuff?
Yeah, we do that.
Again, you are not having to make any checks for manhandling these tiny weak...
Weak and tiny. Manhandling them.
But they are weak and tiny for weak and tiny creatures. So his hand's just there and he's like, right, so that one, right?
Yeah.
That's the red one.
Okay.
Okay, so you don't touch the red one because you'll die.
Okay.
Right. And then over there you've got the blue one.
Uh-huh.
Right, now with the blue one, that one only comes on at midday.
I see.
Don't put it on at night because if you do, they hit you again.
They hit you
And then
cool,
you've
gotcha.
Got the yellow one over there. Now the yellow one I'm not allowed to yet, right? But over there is allowed to.
Okay.
So if is like letting you use it, you can.
Uh-huh.
But it's because that one has the switch and I'm not allowed to touch the switch yet.
So wait, are these potions or are they
These
machines?
Are massive like electronic devices around the outsides
roll
of the room.
Knowledge engineering.
Go for it. You've already rolled knowledge engineering on a sort of level, so I'm going to have to use this to influence a little bit.
21.
You're looking around, what you're seeing is a bunch of machinery that technically could be operated if you just told someone, when green light happens, push green.
Mm-hmm.
When red light happens, push blue. Mm. Do not push it, like...
Is anything labelled?
Nothing is labelled, and it looks deliberately so. But yeah, you definitely get the sense that what someone's done is they've made something where everyone here, it could be like a telegraph operator doesn't need to know how a telegraph works to push the button and hear the code.
Mm.
That kind of thing.
Mm.
So, do you think we should break it? Or are we just going to go up?
Well, what is...
These guys don't know anything useful.
I mean, okay,
I know loads that's useful. I know that you can't push the blue button when the green light is on.
You.
But, yeah?
Shut up. Right, so...
just telling me how it worked.
He doesn't know how
it works. He doesn't know how it works. He just knows a series of instructions that he's been given.
We should investigate them ourselves.
Responding to simple stimuli with...
Very interesting philosophical questions about understanding itself. I mean, really, at some level, don't we all just respond to simple stimuli?
I mean, sure, but
he doesn't know what it does, so that's not understanding.
Sorry, I'm just waiting for... And then the Chinese instructions come in this room, and we use those books to translate them.
Where I was going on that long, rambling journey. So with that roll, that's all that one gets from those machines.
You already rolled earlier, and you know that they are to deal with, as a reminder from last episode, they are to deal with large amounts of electricity.
Right.
However, there seems to be, the older stuff seems more to be about the receiving of electricity, like handling large currents.
Mm.
The other ones seem to be more to do with doing things with that electricity, maybe sending signals of some kind. But to be clear, there are two... What you did remember from last time is there are two separate sets of machinery here that are kind of on top of one another.
I wonder if any of it is like a giant remote control and there's like some giant big robot.
What's
out
that?
There.
I told you, shut up. I reckon that we just destroy it because anything that Yoshida's got going on, any remote controls that he's remote controlling, we need to get rid of, right? So either we go up now, because we are wasting time, if we go up now, get to the top, see if he's there. Or we just destroy this, then go up. But that might start a fire, and then we get stuck at the top of the lighthouse. So.
Oh, fires are fine. There's loads of fires all the time.
We could always destroy it and make sure it doesn't make a fire.
I'm going to guess that if these guys couldn't destroy it without meaning to, it'll actually be quite hard to destroy when meaning to.
They are very small.
But also
you've got explosives.
Disasters.
Yeah, we're just going to blow the wires up.
And I've got big axe.
How do they work?
Well, so you take this alchemical adventure.
No,
can we not tell
relevant.
The kobold how we make bombs?
So it sounds like this room is potentially channeling huge amounts of electrical energy, and it sounds like Yoshida may have electricity powers, if we take anything from what the kobold was just saying.
Lies.
Maybe there's a source.
I'm not a liar. If I help you, can I have some bombs, please?
I mean,
give the kobold
I'm
bombs.
I'm not putting any credence in the 50-foot tall made of electricity, but I'm thinking that the root of that could be has some electricity
powers. They say
powers.
Eat whales for breakfast.
Or you lies can absolutely to keep the
have, and have breakfast for dinner.
Sure, no, help me, and you can absolutely have a bomb. Alchemist bombs do not work in someone else's hands.
Really?
So,
well, me and Azu don't know
that. No one
here knows that.
Trust me on this.
Yeah, wait, trust him.
Do I work the same way that Sasha's bombs used to work?
Who?
She also made bombs.
Okay. Cool. There's a lot of people make bombs, Sonny. That ain't special.
I don't yet.
No. Don't. But I could tell you how.
Yeah.
Why?
Let's just go upstairs, shall we?
For free. Step one? The two other kobolds that were tied up and kind of, you know, gagged and so on. Two? I think there were more, actually. But either way, the other kobolds that were tied
three.
Up and gagged. Three. Well, there you go. So the three that were tied up and gagged, all of them seem bloody furious at whatever this one is doing. They're all like...
What language are we speaking, by the way?
Oh, this one was speaking common.
Right, okay.
There's no such thing as common.
Yeah.
Very fair. Very fair. So, this one is...
I just accepted that for a second. And then I was like, tick, tick, no.
This one is speaking English, specifically. Which, by the way, quite weird for the region. Like, English isn't a big language in Japan, just in general.
Okay. Like, let's come over here, guys. Like, okay. Out of the room.
It's fine. Like, you can just keep going till you know.
Let's tie the cobweb up again.
No! Like, if I give him the bomb, it won't work. He won't be able to make it work. So, like, we could get some help from the really friendly little guy who I think is cool, you know?
I don't think we should trust him on...
I don't think this cobweb knows anything interesting and has been lied to in order to keep control of it.
I think maybe there's definitely a power source that maybe we can disconnect.
I definitely think we're spending time talking to somebody who doesn't know anything when we should be going.
I agree.
Time spent in the pursuit of knowledge is always a good thing.
Okay, well, let's find out what's upstairs.
We're in the pursuit of
Yoshida.
The man. Yes.
Of an alchemy boy.
An alchemy big boy, I'll have you.
All right, guys.
Large alchemy.
No, I'm just here to make sure they don't keep smashing on my village, but, you know, information would be useful for them, but that's cool. Let's just find
your
guy.
Why don't you stay here and we go upstairs, then?
Okay. Gonna look for a plug to see if I can just unplug this stuff. Is that knowledge engineering?
We start heading upstairs.
Okay, yeah. So I'm gonna deal with Cell first, and then I'll deal with the party that's head upstairs. So for Cell, can you give me just a perception check? This is you taking the time.
Well.
You know kind of what you're looking for already, so
19.
I don't need you to figure out. It's just looking for it.
19.
Okay. I will deal with the rest of the party and then return to you. So, rest of the party, you start heading up the lighthouse, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, in the next floor above, you see loads more equipment and what looks to be some semblance of living situation for the scientists, in bunny quotes. Think bunk beds that are about three high, so there's a couple of spare, a table... A barrel of what could be called water, and yeah, there's some food in there. It seems to be meat, primarily a plate of meat, half eaten, and it. How do I put it? Comfort isn't the watchword. It doesn't appear like a prison, but
I'm seeing a Skyrim barracks.
Yeah, like there are things there so that you can go. I guess people live here, and then move past the fact that it's full of machinery.
Yep.
Heading further up circular staircase again. Can everyone give me a perception check?
Yeah, I want to emancipate the workers. Maybe. If they're not evil. Oh, dear.
Maybe emancipate him anyway, but then lock him up.
28. 15.
28, 10. 15, 10. Okay. After a little while, like, the hum of some of this equipment and so on, the occasional, like, spark, whatever, dies down enough for Hamid, you think you hear something fairly large moving around up higher up the tower, but it is a momentary... I think I heard a thing, and it's gone. It isn't a you have special abilities. It is just fluke.
Yeah. I'll relay that. I'll say,
but yeah,
I think there's something large upstairs moving around. Maybe can't be certain.
Right,
just be cautious. Yeah,
big, big as well. Not like kind of like a tall person. Like something that's possibly bigger
50
than
foot
a person.
Tall, with hands made of electricity.
With a belly full of whale.
That would fit in the lighthouse.
Actually, Ahab.
This is where the lighthouse goes, ha-ha, I've already eaten you.
We continue.
Okay, yeah. The next floor up, all machinery, no space for people. You are literally in a circular stairway, and even to your untrained eyes, you're like, the maintenance on this thing must be a nightmare. Because to fix that thing, you've got to climb over that thing, and that thing's literally hot and full of electricity. Like,
I'm going to pass mage armor on myself.
Okay, cool.
I just remembered how long it lasts.
Yep. Fun fact, you currently hold the world record for longest mage armor because you started it, and then a year and a half later, it was still going.
Oh, yeah.
How did that happen? What?
Time skip.
Oh! I forgot about that.
This is the way the world always was. So, yeah, heading further up, this you're now no longer in sort of floors, which were kind of imposed on this. It is just loads of machinery spiralling up in a slightly narrowing spiral as you go higher and higher. Obviously, I did say this is a big lighthouse. But yeah, eventually you start like seeing past some of the spirals to see there is it seems to be a locked grate at the top of the spiral staircase, and then a trapdoor on the other side of the grate. The grate is exactly the same kind of setup as, do you remember the one that led you into the sort of mansion-y bit where retrofitted, bolted on, padlock kind?
Wasn't there a trap on this when we encountered
but
it earlier?
But on the other side of that grate, there is an actual metal trapdoor, but it appears to be part of the original lighthouse, like same kind of build, a lot older, slightly rusted, very heavy.
No, that was the trapdoor out to this.
Right,
but yeah, that doesn't mean we shouldn't check for traps.
It's just been an ongoing nightmare.
I'll have a look. It's just perception, but it's 18.
18? No traps, big lock. Like, significantly stronger lock, and I don't mean more difficult to pick. I mean a physically larger, stronger lock than before. Specifically, it is made of adamantine. So it isn't something that you can just
acid
bolt
splash.
Cut.
Or acid splash through. Our main lock picking technique.
You would have more luck taking out like everything around the lock than the lock itself.
I start casting acid splash at the hinges of the grate.
Yeah, sure.
Just let it.
I am literally, well, unless
great,
anyone disagrees.
I can literally put my finger through and be like.
Is anyone going to have an issue with me rolling to just see how long it takes? Because that will work, but it is not a thing that you can just make
it. It'll eventually fall off of the hinges and start swinging.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Cell might be doing stuff. Downstairs.
So I will jump to Cell, but I'm going to find out for my own record how long that'll take. Okay.
How long will that take? Because we are going to be experiencing that time passing.
So what I'm going to do is deal with Cell first, and then once I've dealt with Cell, I will let you know the time that's remaining. Because just trust me on this one.
Oh, no.
So
don't trust you.
So, Cell, you do eventually find there are two major plugs, effectively, but this isn't like plugging in to make this equipment work. Everything seems to be running off a central trunk, okay? Specifically, two trunks, one on either side. Mm-hmm. One seems to be built, like you thought, to bring electricity down from the top to the bottom. The other one seems to be bringing stuff from the bottom up. Both of them, on this floor, have big old connectors that you could just unscrew using tools that are available and just disconnect. And by cables, I mean like...
Yeah.
Like
thick as
big, thick industrial human width
cables.
Can I
unplug it? Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Can
I get a...
Knowledge engineering?
No, disabled device, please.
I mean, you are
disabling a device.
Oh, I only rolled an 8, but fortunately that comes out as 23.
Okay. Can I get another one, please?
Okay. Oh, good lord. That's 20.
After about 5 minutes, two things happen. The first thing that happens is you reckon it'll take about another 5 minutes. He's popped the first hinge. You aren't going to make it through by grabbing and yanking. You are going to have to acid it. Like, the thing is stronger than you hoped. It is, like, acid is working, but another 5 minutes
working,
at least.
But it's slow.
At the same time, you hear the distinct sound that I can only best describe as...
Sounds made some progress.
All of the equipment around you starts sort of switching off at various speeds, some of it taking a while, some of it's just instantly off, but everything
That's
starts to
work.
Sort of turn off.
Right, we better be prepared for people coming up and seeing what's going on.
Yeah.
Yes, as he gets her axe out.
That's fine. It's worth mentioning that all of the artificial lights have turned off, but there are actual sort of slits, not big ones, I mean, not arrow slits, but like... How do I put it? You know the very narrow industrial kind of like reinforced glass kind of windows you can get where they're not really for looking out so much as just letting a bit of light in? That. So it's dim, but you can see. Eventually, you hear another big loud clonk from the bottom at the same time that you burn through the hinges and the the grate is now hanging by its lock.
Right, let's go.
Okay. Does it need any force to push up? Can we just like...
I need one question from Cell first. Yep. Having finished unplugging stuff, are you staying down there or heading up?
Oh, no, I'm going up.
Okay, cool. I'm like, timing wise, I'm fine for you to have rejoined everyone just as you're about to head up. That's fine.
Jogging up the stairs.
Yeah.
Hey guys.
Good
job. You see, yeah, so it was worth. Yeah, it was great fun. In fact, it turned out that there was actually a central trunk from which all of the. It seemed like power was coming down, but like signal was going up.
But you've got it out.
So it's stopped now.
Oh.
Right. So be prepared. Basically, be prepared for guards to come and look and see what's going on. But let's get up.
How prepared do you need me to be?
Just on guard.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, how that prepared? Not like
I'm going to step back from the trapdoor.
Like a bit sure. prepared.
Okay, Azu's going to put her head through first.
Okay, so the trapdoor opens upwards, not downwards. Give me a strength check.
Ooh.
Yes, big, strong. Big, strong Azu.
Don't say
big
that.
Girl.
Nah, that's only a 16.
She's strong.
16.
On a raw strength, that's good.
Oh. Yeah.
It is good. What happens is the following. You start to lift it up. It's way heavier than it should be. Like,
there's something on it. Oh,
it was made of solid lead heavy. And then you just like, I don't mean beaten by a door. And you start just raw powering it up. To everyone else looking, there's a brief moment where the bar that she's bracing with the other hand starts to bend.
Oh, it's Captain America.
Yes, it is. And on that, I think I'll take a break.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
And welcome back. So, we've put a couple of other lines under the no shouting rule, the only thing at the top of Helen's sheet.
There it goes.
I want you guys to know, we just had a really long break for Helen to calm down, but she was still giggling when we came back in.
So, as you Captain America the trapdoor open...
Oh no, Alex! Have you not learned?
The first thing that becomes apparent is, yeah, there's definitely something on this. Also, the amount of force that you're putting behind it, for anyone else watching, Azu's way too in the moment... Azu's probably pushing something up that's, like, really big. Like, you know, picking up an elephant by its feet kind of big.
Is this just an ooh sick on the trapdoor? Oh, no. No. Pops onto its side.
I cast Mage Hand just to help a tiny bit.
How many pounds of pressure can Mage Hand...
Five. Everyone roll the initiative.
Yep. Oh, it were oohs.
Oh, yes.
A natural one.
Okay.
A natural 20.
That's 4 because I have a minus 1 to my initiative. 11.
Oh, I'm 6 raw.
Okay, so with that in mind then, Hamid, you're up first.
I would be very surprised.
Wow.
Hamid's up first. By a significant margin. Yeah.
I presume you get to act twice before anyone else goes.
You wish. So, the trapdoor has been pushed open. There is a shadow cast across it. Up, you can see a room that is brighter than the room you're in, presumably the top of the lighthouse with a load of external light. Occasionally, there's sort of... I say occasionally, you've only got 6 seconds. There's a flash of light. A huge hulking shape is stood directly over the trapdoor, but the light's already gone before you can really make out what it is. It's big.
But it's standing.
It was stood. It is stood looming directly over.
It has legs.
It has legs.
Good. I can trump
it
the legs.
Is, technically speaking, it has a humanoid shape-ish.
Is it a golem?
I cast fly on myself and zoom straight up through the trapdoor and past it, making a fly check to avoid an attack of opportunity.
You will need the fly check.
29 on my fly check.
I think that's...
Seller's impressed.
In fact, I know that is sufficient for you to just do that.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, cool. So you...
I probably corkscrew around it for style points as I fly straight up
so
through its face.
So you zip straight
up. I'm basically going to the ceiling of whatever room it's in.
So I am going to give you a cursory description of the room. You are clearly at the top of the lighthouse. Think lots of glass around the outside. The storm up here, you are in it. You are actually in the storm. It appears that the lighthouse is currently off, like completely off. Even zipping past it, it's hot. Really, really hot. So it has been on probably until, I don't know.
Someone turned it off.
Exactly. It is a large emptied out room. So in description, the fact that you zipped up actually makes it very vertical, which you can make it hard for me to describe. I want you to imagine the interior of a light bulb. That's the best description I can give you. In the middle of the light bulb shape, you have the actual, like, lighthouse bulb bit, let's describe it. And it is as you'd expect. Lots of glass, very, very hot. The stuff inside that you can't see. There is a metallic walkway that goes around that. And then there is the floor that that trapdoor was on, which is also grating, that has ladders that lead up to that circular walkway around the actual sort of light itself. Upon that, let's call it floor, that grating, is a large... It appears at first to just be something vaguely humanoid. However, it becomes readily apparent that it's got a lot more going on than that. It's as if you took the ooze that you were all fighting earlier and then mashed it into a person cookie cutter, and that's what came out the other side. So this thing has arms, it has hands, it has a face, all of which are looking down.
So it's a golem.
Yes! Golem! Golem! Golem!
Golem!
This is correct.
Yeah!
It is big boy. A big, scary boy. But it is humanoid shaped. It doesn't have, like... How do I put it? The face isn't, like, appearing and disappearing. Like, it has a static form.
It's like a jelly baby.
You know what? Yes! I want you to imagine the biggest, scariest jelly baby you can. That's what you're facing off after. It has noticed that you have flown past. It just seems comparatively unconcerned by you.
It's just small.
At which point, Cell, you are up. You have seen there is a face looking down. For the sake of it, not that it matters in this game, you can threaten feet, you can't threaten head, because it's a very, very big creature, but, you know, this is flavor.
Not making any cool shots.
Yeah, this is flavor only. Your turn, Cell.
Can I mechanically throw through the trapdoor?
Yes. Technically speaking, because of the size of the trapdoor and the thing that you're throwing at, yeah, I won't even insist on penalties.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to throw four bombs. The first one will be a frost bomb, which also does cold damage and makes them staggered.
Okay.
If it hits.
Okay, so you're launching at least one frost bomb.
Yep. Oh, right, yes. Then I
I can't do any more until you
so
do
So the
things.
First one is a frost bomb, so that's 14 plus 8. That's 22.
That is a hit. Oh, hang on.
Ooh.
What? Interesting.
But it's big.
It's big.
Splash only on that one.
Okay.
Oh, I don't like that. The splash damage from the bomb. The bomb doesn't hit.
So the bomb has direct hit, and if you miss by a little bit or something, it can do a... Like, it can do a residual damage.
Okay, so got 20... So, all right, I'll write this down. Or are you writing it down?
I am going to tally stuff at my end. You should tally stuff at your end.
Okay. One splash. Second one. That is 26.
Good hit. Good hit.
Third one is... Oh, that's only an 18.
That one goes, like, just wide. Doesn't hurt anyone in the party, but that one literally, it skitters off the edge of the door and just... The angles are completely all over the shot.
Oh, and that is a 16.
And same for that one. The dice, no. You throw into a trapdoor. It's more difficult than you might think.
Well, I mean, like, basically, if it's... That's actually completely standard. If you needed me to roll above a 10 to hit, then 50% of them hitting is kind of statistics. Anyway, so the first one
the
does...
The best bit of D&D.
This isn't D&D, then. Ooh. Very good point.
Might edit that out.
Okay.
Coward.
I'm just stating the facts.
Lowry, keep it in.
Don't do it, Lowry. Keep it out.
The first one, the splash one, that does 11 damage. I think it only gives the effect staggered if it's a direct hit.
I know that that's the case. That's fine.
Well, then if it didn't stagger, then I'd throw another frostbomb. I can make as many as I want
for it,
to. Yeah,
nice.
So,
yeah.
And with the second one, it's a frostbomb. So with a direct hit, it should be staggered if it's not immune to that. And then also I have to roll all the damage. I need three more d20.
Four d6. Also, okay. As a reminder, don't forget you used a bunch of bombs last recording session as well.
Yeah, I know. I can only... This is the only time...
Perfect.
Very well.
I'm saying perfect. Nothing should be perfect for
everything's
you.
Everything's perfect.
Oh, good rolls.
Bad rolls.
Oh,
take them
very
back.
Good rolls.
Take them back.
12.
I'll allow you to re-roll.
15, 16, 17. Ooh. That's 17 plus 11 splash, so 28.
28 plus stagger. Let's
have
a quick
frosty.
Check. Yep. Let's have a quick check on the old stagger. As it stands, two went wide. One seemed to just explode right next to it and do nothing. And then one...
Oh dear.
There isn't a big splash, but its belly just goes whoop, and then a white colouring sort of spreads throughout it briefly, and it does seem to stagger, as it were. It steps away from the trapdoor, and it gives a noise. I'd like you to imagine if you were draining a bath,
but
you know
squeezed.
that, and then you jam a jelly down there as it's doing that. That's the noise it makes. I mean, you know, standard Saturday night.
Also, you say it's this way for the trapdoor, but mechanically it stays in the same square.
Yes, so it is now, how do I put it? Fluff-wise, it's no longer looming.
It's at the back of its square.
Yeah, there you go. It's kind of got a lean going on. It's got a lean. Zolf, you are up.
Wow.
Oh, technically you can still move, Sel, obviously, because all you've done is just chuck a bunch of death at it.
Yeah, I then thought I'd hop through the trapdoor and out.
Okay. In which case, then, I'm pretty certain that I can't really stop you doing that because it's staggered.
Yeah, that was why I did it in that order.
She knows the tricks.
Well,
yeah, you're
don't
absolutely
know
right.
If that's allowed.
You can. No, you can.
Yes. Seemed logical. So
like,
yes.
To be clear, I'm not even hiding this fact. It is clearly staggered to everyone here. Yeah. Like, it's gone all weird.
So, yes, hops through that and then scrambles off into a corner because they are a range character.
Okay, that's fine. Just because of the climbing the ladder and so on, the way that speed works, etc., you're only going to be about 15 feet away from it. In terms of width of the room, it has a 20-foot radius around this trapdoor.
Mm-hmm.
No further. Like, you just hit glass and that's all it is.
Sounds like a fireball is a terrible idea.
Because
it would be
do
the
it,
whole
Bryn.
Room.
Do it, Bryn.
No.
Do it, Bryn.
Don't listen
fireball
to him.
It. Nothing's ever gone wrong with a fireball. In which case, Zolf, you are up.
Also, you're right. It didn't go wrong. He passed his saves.
Yes.
Or so it would seem. All of this is
suddenly.
All of this is Hamid's dying fantasy. He died in the desert. He never came back.
Oh my god!
It's fine. We'll finish the series, right? And then we'll just jump back to. So Hamid died, and there was just this weird look in his eyes. Let's play the campaign on, shall we?
Yeah.
I only did that once, and I let you all know it was a fantasy, so it's fine.
Don't trust you.
You shouldn't.
Don't.
Least trusted.
Yeah.
Right. I mutter, "Go boots, go."
Yeah, animation phrase.
And levitate up towards it.
Go goes off boots. Okay. Cool.
And then I go up to its head height and poke it in the forehead and cast inflict critical wounds.
Go for
Ooh.
It.
Ooh,
that sounds so cool and dorky.
It's amazing.
So that is. Oh, it's a touch attack. Wait, how do touch attacks work? Am I using my...
You got to hit
base attack
touch
bonus?
AC.
Yeah, is it just my... What is it plus? Is it plus my strength still?
It's your bab and your strength, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so it's a normal attack.
It's a large creature. You're
bonuses.
Almost certainly fine.
Fine, 18.
Yeah.
Yeah, touch attacks against large creatures.
You basically
like...
go past going, yeah, could touch it. Where do you want to boop it? Because you could...
It's head in the forehead.
Right in the middle. Okay, perfect. Yeah, you can do that. It's trivially easy. The
cool.
thing is not quick.
Great. Excuse me while I find some D8.
So, inflict serious wounds. You can go up, you can boop. You've made the attack roll,
yeah.
like, easy
I make
enough.
Contact.
You make contact.
It's cool. Squishy. What does it feel like?
Jelly.
Clammy.
I'm just going to go ahead and give you a description. So you reach out and you start describing how this spell goes right up to the point where it hurts. How's it look? We've never seen you do this before.
Okay, a sort of dark energy coalesces in my hand and then fires from my finger into the thing.
Just as it's meant to fire into the thing, it seems to just skitter across the surface of it, doing nothing.
So it has infinite style resistance, or do I not? I don't get to roll? It's just immune to spells?
You have no idea. It skitters across the surface, doing nothing, apparently.
Oh, no.
Okay. Fine. That's the end of my turn, then.
Okay.
Oh, no.
What's your AC?
17.
17?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, it takes one swing at Zolf, misses. Takes another swing at Zolf, just misses. The thing is lumbering. It is slow. It has been immediately gunning for you, but didn't really make any kind of contact. At which point, then, Azu, you're up.
I want to chop its head off.
I can see how you'd want to.
Yeah.
In which case, then, you will have to climb the ladder first.
Have I not come through?
Yeah.
You have that.
Oh, I just opened it.
You're currently on the ladder, yeah. With everyone going, excuse me. Don't mind me. Beg your pardon.
Well, two of us just flew past. Only one, like, clambered over you.
So tall.
I love the idea that Azu's holding on, and then just a cell goes between the legs, between the chest and the ladder, just right up between. Whoa!
Like a stick insect. Like the branch that is Azu.
They do. Dangling.
Okay, well, Azu is finally going to enter the room.
So, you climb up, you don't provoke an attack of opportunity because you are entering a threatened square, you're not leaving a threatened square, in which case, give me an attack.
Okay, I hope this is good.
Nope.
No, it is a natural one. Back on form.
No. Hug the ass.
Okay.
I strained my arm muscles.
Oh, no.
Torn a tendon.
So, here's what happens. You wind back and start to swing. You muck it up, but it's okay because you make contact with a bit of fist at least.
Oh no!
That just burns. Oh. Just really burns hard. It doesn't deal you damage at this point, but it is just a ha! Which is why the attack goes off.
What if it's acidy?
At which point, Hamid.
So I've seen it, in theory, take no damage from the cold aura of the bomb that exploded next to it. It looked like it took no damage from Zolf's spell, which I didn't recognise. So I'm thinking it may have various damage immunities. So I'm not going to try a fire-based spell. I'm going to cast Magic Missile.
I am going to give another bit of extra info for people. It won't affect your turn, but it is worth telling everyone at this stage because it's on the next round. Which is, now that you're realising, like, you're in the room with it, this thing is honestly, at first, near invisible. The only reason that you could have seen it was the lightning highlighted its form. This thing is
it's translucent.
It doesn't have, like, bits of people in it, but it's a kind of clear jelly.
It's not translucent, it's transparent if we can see it.
You can see it in part, but it's difficult. The lightning, bizarrely, is the only thing that's showing it up. If it was a bright room or a dark room...
It's bending the light around it.
That's literally, yeah. So you are getting snapshots of this thing.
I don't like
it. And if it was standing still as well...
You would have had nothing. The fact that you decided to lift the door up and make it move is the reason you know this thing's here. You just timed it well.
Cool. So I'm assuming various, magical damage-based immunities, therefore not trying a fire spell, casting Magic Missile instead. So spell resistance does apply to Magic Missile, but it's force damage, rather, which I don't believe you can be immune to, unlike cold or fire or... other damage types. There's no will save, there's no attack roll, so
that's
either
fine.
It works or doesn't.
Does Magic Missile allow spell resistance?
Yes.
Okay, good to know. So, pew pew pew. Apparently nothing happens.
Four missiles.
Sorry.
I'm up to the level where
you know what?
Pew 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 pew.
That's that is on me, I apologise. Lowry, don't edit that out, you know? People need to know that I'm fallible. I fouled on the number of pews. Pew 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 pew. Does nothing. Nothing and nothing.
That's important to know.
Okay. Same.
Apparently, it has infinite spell resistance.
Same situation. For what it's worth, it skitters across the surface. It doesn't sort of plunge in and heal it or anything like that. It just seems to disperse into nothingness on it. Are you going to use your move in any way?
Yes, I'm going to use my move to get out my crossbow. I rarely used crossbow.
I'm so proud of you. Aww. Remembering you have a weapon. Cell, you are up. You have seen everything that I've just described play out.
Cell gets out. Their crossbow.
Yay!
Crossbow might be better than me.
It might be a better crossbow.
That's also true.
It is incredible.
So what you mean is you pull a lever and your crossbow assembles in your hand.
Oh my god, yes, it does! Yes, it absolutely does!
No mechanical all difference, but important flavour.
Yeah. It somehow is made up out of like all of these bits that come out of this seemingly. It's like a coat of holding, but not mechanical.
It's a coat of levers.
Yeah. And the thing it assembles up, it is, in technical talk, a heavy repeating crossbow.
Sweet. Bad crossbow.
Allows Cell to use all the kind of bonuses that go into lots of bombs to become lots of crossbow bolts.
It's a bad weapon for bad people.
Is one of the reasons that, like, the fact that Cell has already run out of bombs is.
Which is good. That's a good thing.
Why? Yeah, I mean, it will do less than half the damage. But yes, so that means three attacks.
Yeah, it takes your move action to ready the crossbow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're losing the attack that you would have got if you hadn't been.
In which case, I think I only get two.
I think you only get two. Yeah.
Yep, two attacks. But yes.
This thing has garbage AC though, so you're probably going to hurt it.
Okay, so that's 27.
Hit.
And natural one.
The 19 threatens a crit with a crossbow.
Oh, okay.
Is that wrong?
18? Is that...
Well, plus your base attack bonus. You need to hit it again. But
what's your base attack bonus? Basically, what did you get off that roll?
My BAB
No, your normal attack bonus.
I misspoke.
8.
Yeah, so 26 total 26. To confirm
you,
the crit.
You confirmed a crit, but you didn't threaten a second.
Cool. So
what's your times...
Critical 1920.
It'll be times 2.
Okay, yes. Times 2. So you do double damage.
Okay, cool.
Things are...
In which case, that only does 2d10 and 2d6. So that is 5, and 5 electric.
So but
I don't think it's spell resistant because it's actual electric damage. It's not an electric spell. It's an electric.
Yeah, you are correct. Spell resistance and elemental effects are not the same thing. You shoot the thing.
Yep.
Wham! Slams into it. A bit of it goes wibbly. The electricity seems to strike well. It seems a good, strong, full hit on the creature. It immediately looks to you, and its face distorts to fit in extra rage.
Hey, buddy! Wanna be friends?
Zolf, this thing that was staring at you has just gone, and then, like, plasticine animation style at Cell, and it's ignoring you entirely.
Don't think it like that!
It's alright, it's rubbish at punching.
That's a bit so soon.
I missed me twice.
So, what are you doing?
Hitting it twice with my glaive, using a power attack.
Glaive!
Right.
That's what I think every time I hear the word glaive.
26.
26, hit. Oh.
And 27.
Hit.
Nope, that's a lie because that's not how that works. The second one is actually... No, it's 22.
22 hits.
Cool. So that's two attacks of 1d10 plus 6 plus 6.
Ooh.
Because 6 for 1.5 strength because I'm dual wielding... glaive and...
Wait, 22 did you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, it hits.
So, the first attack does maximum damage. Nope, not
maximum. Wow!
20 damage.
Okay.
And then another 15 damage.
Okay.
Good rolling.
Yeah, really good rolling.
Okay. Bang! You slam it in the head. Just brutally hard. I mean, brutally hard. It slices deep into it. There is... Can you describe your... glaive for me, like what's it made of? Is it like metal haft, wooden haft, that kind of thing? This is entirely for flavour.
Very simple wooden haft steel blade.
Okay, cool. So you do a proper slash across its facial features and so on. It reforms afterwards, but wrong, and you seem to do proper damage to it. It's worth noting though that any bits of the haft that get any bit of the jelly on it, you hear a distinct
It's a magic weapon.
Oh, is it a magic weapon?
Yeah.
Then you still hear a hiss, but it's like there is no discernible mark on it whatsoever. Worth noting, though, there was no hiss from the blade. That is a detail that you would notice on the fly.
Sure.
Just
okay.
So do with that what you will. At which point, then, you still have a move action.
No.
Okay.
I am floating in front of it, by the way, still.
That's fine. The golem...
Yeah!
Sorry. That was awkward. So the golem... Again, still furious, turns now to look at Zolf.
Hello.
Puts its arms out and then just sort of goes... and just turns itself into an enormous, almost flat plane of jelly. It just loses all its humanoid form whatsoever. What's your combat maneuver defense?
CMD is 20.
20.
Is it trying to charge or bull rush me?
Nope. Okay. Alex was very sure to make sure that that's not what this clues into.
It's trying to grapple me because you're a monster.
So, here's how it plays out. It just swamps Zolf.
Oh no!
Closes behind him. Zolf does not get a chance to do literally anything. It just goes... and just, the technical term is, engulfs Zolf.
No!
He is completely and wholly grabbed by it. Zolf, can you please give me a fort save?
Yes, I can. 16.
Okay. I will deal with that in turn. At which point, it is Azu's turn. It has just gone nom 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 and eaten a Zolf.
Okay.
You can currently see a Zolf in the middle of what was its torso.
Oh no!
I'm not worried.
I didn't say you were worried.
Look, you're making worried noises.
I went.
That's not a Zolf going. It's fine.
Yeah. A worried noise would be. It's completely different.
Your facial expression said otherwise.
Yeah, but it's audio, Ben. It's all audio.
Not in this room.
This is how Zolf is. I'm fine.
You said that like you...
Yeah, you said it
that
like you
were really
worried.
Bad tone of voice. Was, you're an actor, man.
That was...
Can we just let Azu take a swing at it?
Fine.
Yeah, just
would
let
you
me
like
again.
To full attack the thing?
Yeah, bad actor boy.
Okay, fine. Give me your first attack.
Okay, I'm going to go... We're gonna
I'm going to break these one at a time, by the way, for this, otherwise the mass is going to get too complicated for me too quick.
Okay. Ooh, natural 20!
Come on,
confirm.
Ooh, it's not going to work, it never works.
So you don't miss.
17.
No, that'll...
Plus your attack bonus.
That's 11. So 17 plus 11 is 28.
Yeah, that's a confirmed crit roll damage.
And that's a times triple. 3.
So you normally get 2d12s, so you get 6d12s.
You think Helen might be having some kind of...
I think Helen's having the best day.
Attack.
Also,
life of goodness.
Never in the history of anything ever have so many d12s been actually used.
Yeah.
6d12s
okay.
Simultaneously.
I've got 6. Okay,
I just need to work out what you add to this roll once you've rolled it as well.
Well, it's usually plus 6.
18. So 60, 12, plus 18. Mm-hmm.
You might splotch it.
Oh my gosh, that's so many dice.
God, they're so bad at rolling.
I need just the total, please.
Oh God, right. 6, 12.
6 plus 9.
No, 6 plus 9. Oh, that's a 9. Yeah. He's putting them right way up for you. Thank you. And then there's this.
That's
one.
A 9.
That was a 9 as well. Nice.
There's too many big numbers on the board.
That's a good roll.
Oh!
That's too many d6. Which one didn't you roll?
Not the yellow one.
Not the yellow one, but added later.
Thank God. Okay. Oh, God. I can't.
I'm sorry, are the numbers too high on the damage you're dealing to my creature?
Literally,
my little
high.
Big boy.
29, 37, 46.
Plus 18. 18.
That's
ridiculous.
How much was that?
The
10. 46
plus 18 is...
64.
I need to check.
That's your filthy laugh. That's not even topping out the microphones, it's topping out her voice.
That's like the same as the maximized fireball.
I need to check.
Yeah, that's insane.
Did you use your additional thing that kicks in on the first attack?
Yes, that's why it was 60.
Good, I needed to check. Okay, cool. So...
Wait. The way that the last time that having experienced a crit while Alex has that kind of expression, I would be concerned.
Lydia is right to be concerned.
What do you mean?
Your large axe sweeps into the creature, a fine torso hit that slops through it. Gashes Zolf hard, dealing him 32 points of damage, and out the other side.
As it's fine, I got loads of him.
And I'll end the episode there. I'm so happy that you keep critting on creatures specifically designed to punish you for it.
So just very quickly, I would like to make a point of order. I've got 50 hit points left. It's fine.
Left?
I've got 82 hit points.
Let's be clear.
I'm such a beefy boy.
Let's be clear though. Azu does still have 3 attacks to go.
One attack.
Oh, lame. Fine. I'll end it there. You probably can't accidentally kill Zolf this round.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by April Sumner. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. rate and review us online, tweet us at TheRustyQuill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord via the website or on Reddit at r/RustyQuill. Thanks for listening. Welcome to episode 136 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell. With me today, I have...
Ben Meredith.
Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas. Yep, I can do this.
Alan Gould.
And who are you playing?
Zolf Smith.
Salad.
Salad! Salad!
Sorry.
You're playing salad.
Trying to read a thing off my character sheet while simultaneously answering the question.
Should we give
well.
It a go again?
Thank you.
It's already very hot and our brains are pudding.
I flourish on your misery.
Stupid sexy grizzle.
the
cursed content.
Oh my god, that content was so good.
I am carry
I was fine with him being
well.
Sexy. It was giving him your hair. I was like, no,
really bad. Never even considered it.
That's so funny.
Alright, I am good to press on.
Facial hair was bad enough. It was the facial hair and head hair as
they,
well.
They
like,
made
no,
my hair
far.
Nicer than my actual hair.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.